Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
And let us pray, everyone. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for tonight. We ask that let your glory be seen this evening as we take time off to wait on you and to hear from you. Thank you, Father, that your word is a living word that comes to quicken and to stir up things in us. It contains a lot of wisdom and direction for our lives. And tonight, guide us and direct us in Jesus' mighty name. Let the people of God say, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I want to start a new series. I really don't know how long it's going to take. I don't expect it to take too long. But I have titled it, How to Deal with Our Differences in the Church. How to Deal with Our Differences in the Church. Hallelujah. Now, those of you who were in our prayer rendezvous today, you would recall that during the first hour of the prayer, I led us to pray for unity and harmony in our church. Unity has to do with oneness. It's a state of being one, of being together. Unity has to do with oneness in mind, in feeling, in purpose, and etc. And then harmony has to do with agreement or accord. So we prayed about unity and harmony in the church. Now, you would have thought that as born again believers, naturally we will flow with one another and that we will get along nicely, you know, with each other in the church. But alas, that is not really the case. And I'm sure that you've heard of all kinds of issues to do with churches and church members. We've heard about disagreements. We've heard about quarrels. We've heard about fightings. We've heard about insults. We've heard about curses happening among believers in the body of Christ. And I think that it's a great shame, and especially also because we give the world an opportunity to laugh at us and to mock us. And these things are done in the open. You hear them in the news, radio, television. You read about them in the print media. And as for social media, dear Bobo, you know. And sometimes you can see pictures of Christians fighting, insulting each other, quarreling, attacking one another, cursing, and what have you. So, you know, it's a very unfortunate occurrence. And it might actually interest you to know that even in the early church, there were differences. There were issues. There was dissent. There were complaints. You see, you would have expected that because the early church was the beginning of it all, and usually at the beginning, it's like things are working well. But not so long after the church was established, there were complaints and there was dissent. Let me show you. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Everybody say rumblings. You know, rumblings of discontent. Why? The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So there were rumblings, there were complaints over food. Now, if you read about the history of the early church, you would learn that when the church started, they used to do everything together. They had things in common. And, you know, even food, they used to put their food together and then share them and distribute them. Now, that thing, when a church is at a certain level, I'm sure that it is easy to do it and to sustain it. But notice here, it says that, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, when now there were many more people, they started having issues. They started having problems. And the Greek-speaking believers in the church were complaining that when they were sharing the food, they didn't give them big meat. And they saw the guy who was sharing the food, that when it came to the Hebrew widows, they would give a big piece of fish, a big egg. But when it came to the Greek widows, small stew, they would give big banku with small stew and small fish. And they saw that it was a pattern. So they started complaining that this is not right. We have all come to church to serve the Lord, but there's discrimination in the house of God. So that is what led Peter and co. to have a meeting with the people and tell them that, you see, what you're doing, you're trying to, you know, cause us to shift from what is our main assignment and to start serving bread and fish and wine. We can't do that. So he said, look, let's appoint 7 guys who are filled with the Holy Spirit and let's make them the dining hall prefects so that they'll make sure that there's equity in the distribution of the food. So this was during the early days of the church when Peter and co, all these guys were in Jerusalem at that time. All right, and there are other scriptures that reveal that the church, since time immemorial, has had issues. There have been differences, dissent, disagreements, misunderstandings. Let me show you some more scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're reading from verse 10 to 13. So, the church in Corinth is a classic example of a church that had a lot of issues. So Paul writes to them and he says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. To live in harmony. I mean, you're saying to them that be in agreement with one another. Live with one accord. Then he says, let there be no divisions in the church. Now, for him to write this, it means that there were a lot of divisions in the church. He goes on and says, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And this is the will of God for his church and for all believers. That when you are in a church, when you are in the house of God, we should strive to be of one mind. united in thought and purpose. We must try hard to think in the same way, and we must have the same purpose that we are working towards. Can I have an amen? It continues, for some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. Have told me about your what? Quarrels. So it means that they were quarreling. And this was the church in Corinth. Not so many years after Christ had left. They were quarreling in the church. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos. Or, I follow Peter. Or, I follow only Christ. So they were divided. And there were factions in the church. So he continues and says, has Christ been divided into factions? Has Christ been divided into factions? So sometimes when you look at what is happening in the church, and even in the body of Christ at large, it looks as if we have been divided into factions, into different groups, like what you see with political parties, you know? So you see, there's this person's camp, then there's this other person's camp. So then the whole thing is divided, especially before they go to the polls to elect their flag bearer. That's when you see the factions appearing. Then he says, was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. So we can see here that Paul was addressing the divisions in the church and realized that there were a lot of differences existing amongst the believers in the house of God. Hallelujah. Let's look at some other scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And please always remember that our midweek service, Times of Impartation, is essentially a teaching service. So you find that we go into a lot of scriptures and bring out a lot of things. We just don't settle on a few scriptures and that is it. It's a teaching service. So anytime you're coming for a service like this, you must be prepared to open to a lot of scriptures and to read for yourself. So 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1 to 4, Paul continues. It's again this same thing about Paul, Apollos. I am for Paul, I am for Apollos and all that. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belong to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. Now, God is expecting us to become spiritual. I thought somebody was going to say amen. God is expecting us to become spiritual and to grow in the faith. That if you have been a Christian for some time, you are expected to move from babyhood to childhood and then subsequently to adulthood. It is a problem if you've been a Christian for some time and you are not growing, you are not maturing, you are not becoming spiritual. So this was what Paul was addressing with the church in Corinth. He says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. Who do you give milk to? Babies. Babies. So if you see that a mother is giving a 3-year-old baby rice and chicken stew, you should realize that she's actually trying to kill the child, because the baby cannot handle that kind of food. So you give babies, you give milk to babies. And Paul was explaining to the believers, and they were believers, so please take note of it. They were not unbelievers. They were Christians in the church. And was explaining to them that you are like babies. And anytime I am ministering to you, I need to give you the milk of the word, because there's the milk of the word and there's the meat of the word of God. And when you are a baby Christian, milk is what we give to you. But after a while, we must graduate from milk to meat. And you see that natural progression with mothers, you know, when they are taking care of the babies, when they are nursing them. Initially, it is the milk. And medically, it is advised that you do exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months. There are still some children 2 years old. They are still on breast milk, you know, and their fathers are not happy because they have other intentions for the breast. But as they can see, every time the breast is in the mouth of the baby. So if you were to look into the faces of some fathers when the babies are being breastfed, you will see a lot of anger and resentment, because the guns have a statement they make, aye finoche. They are eating more than the owner. God have mercy on our souls. He says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And he went on and said, and you still aren't ready. Which means that he was expecting them to be ready, to be fed with something stronger than milk. He says, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature, which is one of the cardinal signs of a baby Christian. He or she is very much under the control of the sinful nature. Then he says, you are jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. What gives rise to sometimes the divisions and the misunderstandings and the differences in the house of God? When you go into it, sometimes people are jealous of other people, of what they have, of what they have achieved, and of what they have accomplished. And because of that jealousy, it leads to differences and misunderstandings. And Paul is talking about quarreling. And unfortunately, Christians can quarrel. We can quarrel over all kinds of issues. And sometimes our quarrels are even wilder than what you see with unbelievers. Somebody say, God have mercy on us. Then he continues that, doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Where there's jealousy and there's quarreling and there's envy and dissent, is it not a sign that you are not growing, that you are not maturing? And he says, aren't you living like people of the world? Because such behavior is supposed to be associated with worldly people who don't live under a higher law. But he's saying that what is happening in the church is like what we see with the people of the world. When one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world? Hallelujah. So there were differences, and the differences were coming about because they were arguing, I'm for this person, I'm for that person, and they were jealous, and they were envious, and they were quarreling over all kinds of issues. So this is yet another example of the differences that existed in the early church. Look at another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading from verse 18 to 22. He says, Apostle Paul again, first, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. So this is like somebody who is saying, I wish it wasn't true. But I think that it's true and I'm not happy about it. He says, but of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. You know, sometimes when there are issues and there are differences and misunderstandings, you are able to see clearly those who are spiritual and those who are very carnal. And it's like when there are differences and misunderstandings, then people's real state in the Lord is revealed. Because those who are spiritual, they talk in a certain way. They handle things with a certain maturity. They want issues to be resolved and sorted out. But those who are carnal keep pressing, keep insisting on things, keep saying things, trying to worsen the situation. So these divisions and misunderstandings, they reveal a lot about where we actually are on the ladder of growth and progress. Now, what was the issue here? It says, when you meet together, so this is when they meet together, you know, to have communion. And I must explain to you that in those times, their communion was an actual meal. Big bread with wine. You know, a lot of it. It's not this small wafer and small cup of, you know, wine that we give. You know, so it was an actual meal. So it says, you are not really, when you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. I guess that they were encouraged to bring the bread and the wine. It was a bring and share. All right, so bring and share is biblical. When we have our anniversaries and we ask different assemblies to bring food and share, it's not a strange thing that we are doing. But the problem here was that people just bring enough for themselves and they don't want to share. So when they come, they are in a hurry to eat, you know. So he says, as a result, some go hungry while others get drunk, which suggests that the wine that they were using in those times must have had quite a good percentage of alcohol in it. Don't let your mind start running wild. Say that, Pastor, why are we not doing sin? We won't do it, please. We won't do it. Yeah, the red vinto is okay. The red communion wine, it's okay. Why? Because we don't want any problems. Do you see the problem that was happening in the church? They have come to church. They've come to serve God. Not just that microphone. Wabu so. They are totally drunk. So when they were coming to church, they were walking normally. Now, as they are going out of the church, they said, "Mahane piam," you know, they are drunk. Can you imagine a situation like that in the house of God? And they were in a hurry to eat and drink. And all. It just reminds me of secondary school. You know, in secondary school, we had a term that we used called rablo. And what it was with the rablo is that sometimes when it's time for dining, you can actually have somebody going to the dining hall and carrying a whole tray of bread away, running, and you see a lot of people chasing him. Sometimes the pan of rice water. One person has carried the rice water and is running and people are chasing. So it became something such that if you don't get in early and your eye no red, you can easily not get some of the food. This was what they were doing. They were doing rablo in the house of God. Paul was so angry that he went on and asked, "What? What?" He says, "Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking?" Look, I want to advise you, when you're going for a party, please eat before you go. Don't go and put your last on the party food. If you do that, you can easily misbehave and disgrace yourself. Is it a good piece of advice? If you take it, it will save you from a lot of trouble. So Paul says, "Don't you have homes? Why don't you eat and drink there before you come? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor?" Because obviously, those who are likely to suffer the most out of this behavior were the poor. Because they don't have much. And we're expecting that those who have will share with them. But those who have, when they come, they're only thinking about themselves. And they'll eat everything. So by the time the service is over, the poor people are hungry. The others are full and some are even drunk. What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. Hallelujah. So again, you see, there were differences and there were issues and there was dissent and there were problems in the church. The last example I can give you, James chapter 4, verse 1. So much later on, the apostle James is writing to the church. He says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? And it's a shame that you have a situation like that. That in the church of Christ, you have quarrels and you have fights. Have you seen believers fighting before? Hey, they fight openly. They take sticks, cutlasses, and all kinds of implements to hurt their other brothers. You know? You may see it in some churches when the pastor is transferred. And then, you know, another person comes. Then there are different factions in the church. Now, the supporters of the pastor who has been transferred are saying that we no go sit down, make them cheaters. So they are insisting that they won't allow the person who has come to take over. So they come with all kinds of things to fight and to quarrel. It's an unfortunate thing. He says, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? So the apostle James is addressing a problem in the church. Division, quarreling, fighting. So I have just read these things to you to let you understand that really there is nothing new under the sun. And we shouldn't be too surprised when we see in the church of God that there are differences and there are misunderstandings. Look, the reality is that wherever people congregate, wherever you have a lot of people, wherever you have a multitude of people, you are likely to have misunderstandings, have differences, and have issues. All right? And these differences arise because the truth is that we come from different backgrounds. We come from different homes. There are some people who come from homes where they are properly trained, where there's a lot of discipline. There are others also who come from homes where people just do what they want to do and there's no discipline, there's no order, there's no correction. So when you have people like that in the church, don't be surprised that they misbehave and act in the wrong way. Sometimes the differences come about because of our cultures. Sometimes because of our ethnicity. So you can have a church that is divided on ethnic lines. You can have churches where there's a lot of segregation. So if you go to a lot of churches in America today, on Sunday morning, that is when you see segregation at work. You know? So you can go to a church where there are only white people. Then you can go to some churches where there are only black people. Then in some places you see a mixture of the black and white. You may have more of the white than the black or more of the black than the white. But these things exist. So our races, our ethnicity leads to our differences sometimes. Then of course, another thing that can lead to our differences is our sexes. Male, female. You know, it is said that men don't understand women. And then women also don't understand men. Because we don't understand each other, we will end up quarreling. Is that not so? Yeah, so it happens. Then the differences can also come about because of our preferences. We all have different preferences. You want things to be done this way. Another person wants it to be done another way. Now, the fact that we have different preferences can lead to issues and can lead to dissent and discord amongst us. Then also, one of the reasons why sometimes you have these differences in the church is a certain lack of understanding. Have you heard it being said of some people before that they don't understand anything? So if you are in a church and you have people who don't understand anything, you shouldn't be surprised that sometimes you would have, you know, issues coming up. Now, one of the things that I'm sure you've heard me say it before, but I think that it's something that you should always have at the back of your mind, that a church is like a hospital. A church is like a clinic. What kind of people do you find in a hospital? Sick people. People who have health issues. And the truth is that in the church, people have all kinds of issues. And the church is like a treatment center for all these people. So don't be surprised when in a church you see all kinds of things manifesting. It is because the church is like a hospital, and it's a place where people have issues, and it's a place where people have to be helped to become better. Which is why if you are a pastor of a church, you need to have a big heart. Otherwise, you sack everybody from the church. You need to be long-suffering. You need to be patient with people. Pastors are sometimes, pastors who have that kind of heart are often accused of being complacent. And are often accused of not dealing strongly with certain issues in the church. But I tell you, if we were to come down very strongly in a certain way, there are certain people who cannot stay in the church. And you may drive them out too quickly before they can be reformed and before they can be transformed. So, of course, there's a need to strike a balance. There must be order. There must be discipline in the church. But there must also be compassion. And there must also be patient. Understanding that it actually takes time for people to reform. There are some people, not long after the born again experience, you can see a notable change and transformation in the person. I wish that that was what it was for every one of us. But the truth is that there are others also, it takes quite some time for them to reform and for them to get even better. And you must understand about this whole born again experience. That you see, the fact that you're born again doesn't mean that all your issues have gone away. Because the born again experience is a spiritual experience, and it affects primarily your spirit. Your mind, your body is the same. Which is why two things are essential after you become born again. You got to work on your mind and renew your mind. That's what leads to the transformation. So Paul talks about it in Romans 12. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then the other problem area is the body or the flesh. Everybody say, "Ewo, this body." It has a lot of issues. Now, daily, we are supposed to present it on the altar as a sacrifice and to kill it. And you are killing it and it's not dying. But you have to persist with it and contend with it. And look, it's something that you have to contend with virtually for the rest of your life until God calls you home. Because if you lose God, the flesh will misbehave fully. So you are born again, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And the Spirit of God is working on us. And in the process of working on us, we begin to do all kinds of things. And that's what gives rise to the differences, the misunderstanding, the divisions, the complaints, the quarrelings, the fightings, and the insults that sometimes you find amongst believers. Am I helping somebody to understand what we are dealing with? All right. So, everything that I've said is by way of introduction. And remember that we are talking about how to deal with our differences in the church. May I also say this to us, my friends, that the differences that we are talking about, there are two categories of issues that lead to the differences that we see. Two categories. There are issues that come up that maybe leads to differences and misunderstandings in the church. But these are issues that have been clearly spoken about in scripture and that have to do with what is clearly right or wrong. So, for example, the Bible says that believers should not fight, should not quarrel, should not gossip, should not slander. There are clear scriptures like that. So if you have a situation where somebody has gossiped about you and it has led to issues and you are not happy and you are having exchanges with the person, when you are resolving such an issue, it is straightforward because the Bible has said it clearly. Don't gossip. Don't bear false witness. Don't slander. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't insult. Let your speech be with grace. These are things that are clearly spelled out in the Word of God. So if we have challenges in the church, you have two church members who are unhappy with each other and they are not getting on well, and you get into the issue and you find out that what has brought about the problem was that this person said this about this person said that about it, and all, it is easy to deal with it because what you are dealing with has clearly been spoken about in the Word of God, and it's a clear case of right and wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? All right, so this is the first category of issues that lead to differences and misunderstandings and strife in the church. But there is another category where you are now dealing with issues that are not clearly spoken about in the scriptures, where it is not a clear case of right and wrong. So you can have this coming up, and these ones are the most dangerous because they, in a very subtle way, they lead to a lot of division and confusion in the church. And so this has to do with things that the Bible is silent on. The Bible is not explicit about it. It's not something that is written in red and black, or black and white. That's what we usually say, okay? In the Word of God, so that you know that, no, this thing that I'm dealing with is clearly, this is right and this is wrong. You don't have that. So such issues are a little more tricky to deal with. And the focus of what I'm sharing with you is more about such issues, the category two issues, because we see them in the Word of God coming up. Let me show you Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. We're reading from verse 1 to 23. That's long, but it's a teaching service. So let's flow. Romans 14 verse 1 to 23. It is not only in the Corinth church that there were issues. Let me stress. In the church in Galatia, there were issues. And in the church in Rome, there were also issues. So I'm just pointing out to you that it is not a strange thing to have misunderstandings and differences and dissent in the church. It's not a strange thing. It's how we deal with them that is the most important thing. So Paul starts off and says, accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. So in the church, there are different categories of believers. One category is believers who are weak in the faith. Maybe they got born again not too long ago, or they've been Christians for some time, but they have not developed in their faith level. So they are weak in faith. Because you can be strong in faith or you can be weak in faith. And Paul is saying that in the church, you're going to have believers who are weak in faith. So such people, there's a way you should handle them. Don't argue with them. And don't get into too many exchanges with them about what is right or wrong. Treat them tenderly. Why? Because they are weak in faith. And you see, when somebody is weak, he or she can be easily harmed. He or she can be easily hurt. So you should always be conscious of this. When you are in a church like this, not everybody is strong and able to deal with certain things. There are some people, when you rebuke them, it is easy for them to flow. There are other people, when you rebuke them, because they have not matured, they take it personal. And it affects them so much so, that sometimes they are not able to function normally in the church again. So, a pastor of a church, the leaders of the church, the members of the church must be conscious of this. That there are people in the church who are weak in faith. So when you are dealing with their issues, you got to be very careful. And you got to take your time. Otherwise, you will hurt them. Or you will harm them. And some of them may never recover. Hallelujah. Then he gives an example. He says, for instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything. But another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. So he's giving an example. And it's a practical example. That in the church, there are some people, we call them ampucheche. They will eat anything and everything. They have a Catholic taste. Have you met people like that before? Woman chibibia. And it's actually a blessing. It means that wherever you go, you are able to flow and to survive. So those of you who are only used to kenke and banku and all of those other things. Meanwhile, you too, you said that you want to relocate. You want to go to New Zealand and go to Australia. Where are you going to get the banku from? You have to learn how to eat mashed potato.
What I say?
Hey, mashed potato. You have to learn how to eat pasta. You say, Ediani, Esi, when you say, hey, Ediani, Ediani, Mene, Ediamami, I can say, and Krama Ediani. Masa, the issue is that, Akaokakra, do you see? So, there are people who are blessed. They can eat anything. Everywhere they go, they can flow. So Paul is explaining, there are some people who are okay, they'll eat anything. There are other people also, their consciences are very tender. So they want to eat only vegetables. Ask your neighbor, which type are you? Is there any vegetarian here? Which forgive? My son, forgive me, allergy, is a vegetarian. It's not possible. It's not possible. He eats vegetables, but he's not a vegetarian. When you say somebody is a vegetarian, that means that that's the only thing he eats. And there are people like that. It's a special calling. That's what I say. I don't have it. Neither do I think that you have it also. So don't look at me with some kind of eyes. Eh? My big sister is sitting there laughing at me. Then he says, those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. So there's a problem. Or there's a problem he's addressing. There are those who eat anything. And they look down on those who don't eat certain things. Oh, you are this, you are that, you are this, you are that. Ah, what is this? You are too some way. You know, why don't you flow with everything? Everything we are giving you, you don't eat. It can be quite some way. If you are with somebody who is very picky and choosy, everything only. You don't eat pork. You don't eat chicken. And even the fish that you eat, if it is not grouper, you won't eat. It's actually very difficult to live with people like that, you see. And at the point of because every time you have to organize special diets for them. And sisters, I pray for you that you don't get married to a man like that too. I'm telling you, if you meet somebody who says that I want to marry you, investigate what he likes and what he doesn't like and ask yourself, because you two, the way your mother brought you up, you are not into, as I say, we are grilling this, grilling that, baking this, baking that, and all of that. You are not into those things. And even if they didn't train you, you can learn it. So thou art without excuse, oh woman. Amen. You can learn it. You can do what? You can learn it. But it can be very challenging when you are with somebody like that. So it says, those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Alright? So you don't eat bat. Ampine. Dankwain sre. You don't eat it. Don't look down on the person who eats it. That's what the Bible is saying. Let the person feel free. I mean, for the life of me, I don't know why you eat bat. You understand? I don't understand. Yeah, you are trying to explain to me that it's a delicacy and everything, but it's very difficult for me to relate with you. You know? But I mustn't look down on you. Or that's what you like. That some who eat cats. Hey, somebody said what? Nice meat. I hear cat meat is very nice. I haven't had any before. I have a cat now in my house, and I've threatened it that if it doesn't behave properly, it should remember the region from Ghana that I come from. I can easily manifest myself. But the other day, they told me that it was pooping all over the place. The cat is called Joy. Said, hey, Joy, you had better behave because your owner is from a particular region in Ghana whose name starts with, it's okay, I won't say it. There are people who eat snails, snake, frogs. Hey, I went to China the other day. The things that people can eat. So when they serve you anything, you have to ask, what is this? You know? And China, that's the place where you have proper point and kill. Hey, because then you see them. There's snake, there's frog, all kinds of creatures. You see? They believe that God has given us dominion over all, which means that you should be able to eat anything and everything. You know? So the Bible is saying that you must not condemn those who eat anything because God has who eat everything because God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. You see, what Paul is describing is an issue to do with food. Then he moves on and talks about other things. In the same way, some think that one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. We have that currently. Is that not so? Some people feel that the holy day is Saturday. Others also feel that the holy day is Sunday. Those who feel that the holy day is Saturday appealed to the Electoral Commission and to the government that they should shift this year's elections from the 7th of December, which is a Saturday, to some other day because of their faith and their religion. They feel that you are messing up their holy day. And they've told them that we are not going to change it. But there are people who feel very strongly about it to the point that they feel that everybody else is wrong who worships on any other day apart from their chosen day of worship. It says, you should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. We shouldn't split hairs over it. If you think Saturday is what works for you, flow. If you think Sunday is what works for you, flow. If you think that Friday is what works for you, flow. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. Amen. That's the revelation here. You can eat anything and everything. All you have to do is to pray over it and consecrate it unto the Lord, and you are good to go. So don't let anybody intimidate you again. It's just that you shouldn't eat certain things in somebody's presence, because it can create problems. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose: to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? You're condemning him or her over an issue of food or a holy day or dressing or makeup and things like that. All right? So it's saying that, why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Can you say it with me? Let's stop condemning each other. Say it again. It continues, decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. And this is key. It means that don't just think about yourself and your liberties, but be considerate of others. Especially if your liberties are going to lead to a problem for somebody else. We are going to go further into that. He says, I know and I'm convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve God with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. I like that. Let us aim for harmony, agreement, accord in the church and try to build each other up. That must be our goal and that must be our objective. And every child of God must aim to build up others and to strengthen others and to encourage others. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat, or drink wine, or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. Now, the Bible is not saying that if you know that somebody doesn't like meat, because of that, you should never eat meat again. It's just that you shouldn't eat the meat in the person's presence. Go and eat it somewhere. Eat it in your car. Or eat it on the roadside. But if the person is around, you should be considerate of the person. And then you too, the one who doesn't like the meat, allow us to be free small. You know, so what the Bible is recommending is, let's esteem others better than ourselves. Let's consider others rather than focusing on what we want. We shouldn't be self-centered and self-focused. We should think about others, which is a good piece of advice. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they've decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Hallelujah. So here, we can see that the issue in contention or the issue as Paul talked about was an issue of food. issue of drinks, issue of a holy day. Now, these issues are not clearly addressed in the scriptures. But from what he's saying, the fact that he wrote about it indicates that there were divisions in the church in Rome because of this issue of meat. Should I eat this? Should I not eat this? Should I drink this? Should I not drink this? So, for example, when it comes to the issue of drinking and alcohol, you always have to be very careful how you deal with it. And you should also be very careful what you say about it. You know? Because there are enough scriptures in the Bible that give a strong suggestion that you are better off when you stay off alcoholic beverages. Okay? But you can also not make a hard and fast rule over it. And by what I'm saying, I'm not giving you license to overindulge. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just making a point. So I'm pointing out to us that there are divisions and differences that can come up over all kinds of issues. But the tricky ones are issues that are not addressed explicitly in the Word of God. And we are trying to learn how to deal with these differences so that there will be unity, there will be togetherness, and there will be harmony in the house of God. Next week, we are going to go deeper into how to actually deal with these differences. But today, I've just focused on, you know, giving us a broad understanding of what we are dealing with and the problem at hand. And if Jesus tarries and he gives us life, next week, Wednesday, we will continue from there. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus if you can. God bless you. And Father, we thank you today for your word and thank you for what we've learned. I pray may your Holy Spirit expound on what we've been taught further unto us as we go from here. But I know, Father, that there's a reason why you laid this message on my heart for your people. Your wish is that we will live together in harmony, that we'll endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I pray that by the end of this series, may we gain a lot of knowledge and understanding that will help us in how we relate with one another so that we don't damage the togetherness that is needed for this church to progress and advance. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Let everyone say amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.